Good morning, Grace.
Good morning.
For to all who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. Amen. It was a small room, a little kitchen, a living room in front with a big window that looked directly out onto Haywood Road, West Asheville, which Bishop Taylor lovingly referred to as Best Asheville. When Bishop Taylor and a few of us Episcopal New Ministry geeks and the leaders of All Souls Cathedral first began Kairos West Community Center in West Asheville, all that we had was that small living room that looked out onto Haywood Road and a few chairs and this large soccer table game that Father Donatelli donated because, well, why not? In my first few weeks as missioner of Kairos West, I felt like Steve Martin in the film The Jerk. It's a real classic. All I need is this chair and this lamp and this soccer table game. It's all I need. It turns out to open a thriving community center, all of those things are a great start. But actually, all you need is people. Lots of people who have an abundance of talents. It was 2013 when we wrote the grant to the National Episcopal Church. With the help of many folks, I put into words our vision for the ever-gentrifying community of West Asheville, the need to create a sacred space where anyone could gather and offer their gifts, where they could offer their talents to the glory of God. We shared our belief that to thrive, a community needed to be rooted in more than just production and consumption. A healthy community, we said, needed to have relationship as its core value. At Kairos West, we held relationship as our valued currency. You see, West Asheville, as it grew new businesses and new expensive housing options, as it grew in ways for people to buy things and to produce things to buy, as it was becoming economically larger for some, was actually becoming smaller for the people who had lived there for generations. The people that were living on small incomes who did not have the ability to buy a $5 cup of coffee or a $20 breakfast, these people were being pushed out of their community as the community changed. But those of us envisioning the Kairos West Community Center saw that the folks who were being pushed out had something to offer. They had talents to invest that would make the community better, stronger, more diverse. Those of us that shared this vision knew that if we created space for people to offer their talents, that those talents would multiply, and we, all of us, would have true abundance. The National Episcopal Church, our leadership through Bishop Taylor, and a few funders agreed with this vision. And so they invested $40,000 that first year to open a storefront community center in the middle of Best Asheville, knowing it would be even better if more people invested their talents. So we took that money and all that support and opened the doors of Kairos West in June of 2013. For the first few weeks, I sat on a chair with my laptop, and I thought, what have I done? It was just me and a vision, and one social work intern who's now a deacon, Jackie Combs. And for those first few weeks, we made free coffee and kept our doors open to whoever might be seeking prayer company and community. I remember the first person who walked in. His name was Ben. He walked in and said, "Cool, what are you all doing here?" I looked at him and replied, "We actually don't know. What do you want to do here?" And he laughed, and I said, "No, really. What would you do if you had free space and support from some community organizers to help you do what you love to do, to offer your gifts?" He sat down and he began to tell us about his dreams. He came every day after that and hosted the space, giving out free coffee and having conversations with people who also wanted to talk about their dreams and offer their gifts. More people came, old and young, poor and rich. All of them had dreams about how to make Best Asheville even better. Kairos means God's time. God's time is not measured in minutes or hours or days. God's time is felt within the context of relationship, and it unfolds organically through growing to know God, ourselves, and each other. So after a year of holding our doors open and offering free coffee, prayer, and conversation, Kairos West was eventually hosting over 15 different community gatherings, from addiction recovery to support groups, to prayer teams, to Bible study, to discernment groups, to free food for everyone. 15 various groups made up of over 150 people meeting monthly in that place, all with the simple goal of investing in community with the talents they had been given. We opened the doors and they all came to invest. Kairos West was like a bank for God's gifts, and it had a great return. In our gospel today, we have 3 servants and 8 talents. In the end, there are 2 who prove to be faithful and trustworthy, 2 who have multiplied their talents, and there is 1 who does not invest his talent, but out of fear, he buries his talent deep in the ground. The 2 that were trustworthy obviously knew that the master wanted a return on the talents that they had been given. And so they faithfully followed through and invested wisely. But the 1 who had been given only 1 talent, that 1 servant did nothing with his and thus had no return. When he met his master again, he was exactly the same as before. There had been no growth. The moral of this story, again, a warning to be prepared, is not really difficult to interpret. The parable is clear. We should seek to multiply the gifts or the talents we are given. We are being asked here in this warning to act not out of fear, but out of trust and faith. Trust that we have been given talents to grow. But there is more to the story, as is always the case. And so I'm curious, can you imagine what might have caused that 1 servant to be fearful, to lack trust and faith? It says in our scripture that the servant thought of the master as a harsh man, reaping where he did not sow. The servant was afraid of being taken advantage of being used for the good of only the master alone, and so he was protecting himself. The impulse to protect ourselves is natural when we lack trust, when we work out of a theology of scarcity that there's never enough. We will naturally protect what we have. To invest our money or our time or our talent is a risk. to invest anything we have by handing it over to someone else or sharing it with the community or even allowing people to know that we have it is a risk. So it seems reasonable that this servant is fearful because he is not seeking abundance. He's seeking safety and security. It seems obvious to me that in this scripture, we are in fact being asked to take risks, to believe that our gifts and talents will multiply if we offer them, if we invest them, if we trust. And yet, while even this lesson may be clear, there is one thing that seems rather elusive and also really important for our understanding. While we are being asked to trust and hand over our gifts for investment, as I read the scripture, I was left asking, where exactly did those two faithful servants go to invest their talents? In our gospel story, it simply says, the two trustworthy servants went off at once and traded them. This implies that the two trustworthy servants had relationships and knowledge about how to trade and where to go. This short statement implies that they had some level of trust and knowledge in the system of investment, that they knew where to go and where their investment would be received. On our Women Walking the Way discussion on Thursday and in Bible study on Monday, we asked one another, what talents do we have and how did we learn to trust them? And when and where were we invited to offer them? Everyone I listened to had a story of getting into college or their first job or an apprenticeship or a mentor who trained them in their skill, or someone who invited them to do something that was a risk but supported them in taking that risk. All of these stories led to jobs or new discernments about the talents they had been given. Because of these relationships and opportunities and encouragement to risk, their talents multiplied. Can you right now stop and imagine the person or the place or the community that encouraged you to take a risk, to invest your gifts and talents? I imagine that each of you can call to mind a person or a place that lifted you up, created space, built relationships that allowed you to invest well what you had been given. None of us multiply our gifts and talents alone. It takes community to receive our gifts. It takes people to trade with and relationships we trust in order for our investments to have a return. The many people who came through the doors of Kairos West, most of these people came and stayed because for many of them, this place was the first place that truly received them just as they were and received their gifts with excitement and supported them in offering their gifts to others. Because at Kairos, our valued currency was relationship. We were less interested in what degrees people held or what affiliations gave people credit. At Kairos West, the only thing we required for someone to offer their gifts in that space was vision and willingness to invest in the good of the whole community. At Kairos West, you couldn't charge for what you offered. So the people coming to offer support groups, classes, free food, or prayer were there because they knew that God had given them gifts to share for the glory of God and for the love of neighbor. Many of these folks came because the location was central and the space we offered to them was free, but they stayed because they built relationships and they saw their investments and their talents multiply. They came and stayed because places like Kairos West are few and far between, especially as our community grows in business and expensive housing. Rental space for anyone to offer their gifts of art and music or counseling is expensive too. So where does one go to invest their talents? While many of us have had the privilege of good mentors and social connections, there are many people who have not. Poverty, mental illness, varied bias can create a world where only certain people's gifts are seen as worthy of investing. So while, yes, this parable is speaking to us, telling us to prepare to invest our talents and trust that they will grow, while it tells us to take risks in investing our talents, it is also a reminder that we are called to be a place where people, anyone, can come and invest their talents. We are called to risk investing in others. Church is a place where we are called to see everyone as made in the image of a loving God. We are called to receive them as such and to create space where they can watch their God gifts grow. Our parable today also makes it clear we are not investing our gifts for a return that benefits us alone, but we are called, each of us, to invest our gifts and offer our talents to the glory of God who gave them to us, and to use them to build the kingdom of God here on earth. Investing our talents in community is not risk-free. Kairos West grew for years. We hosted so many different groups that saw their talents multiply. 12 Baskets Cafe that took food that would have been thrown away by restaurants and served it to anyone who needed a meal and people to eat with grew so much that it took over our building. And Kairos West is now growing in a different, unknown direction. We saw challenges that are for another sermon. We fought battles with the city and businesses in gentrifying West Asheville, and we struggled with a community riddled with the disease of heroin addiction. We spent a lot of time in difficult conversations with neighbors about needle litter and people sleeping outside our building. We had some days when we all thought our investments were tanking, and days when we felt we were losing sight of our faithfulness and our trust. So no, it wasn't all positive return. That's the way the market works. It ebbs and flows. But we saw the growth that happened in that sacred space set apart for community, for liturgy and prayer. And it wasn't just a few of us offering our gifts to the needy. It was all of us being needy ourselves of relationship and God's love, receiving an abundance from all of the talents offered in that community. Grace, we have an abundance here in this place. God has given us such talents that they are hard to count. In our effort to be prepared, I wonder, how are we investing our many talents now? How are we being called to risk so that others can offer their talents and watch them multiply? I'm thinking about the risks we are taking, and I'm thinking about their return. I'm thinking about the pumpkin patch and how that was truly a risk, and yet it was our most abundant year ever. I'm thinking about the money we invested in this technology and the gifts used to run it, and I'm thinking of you right now watching these gifts multiply. And I am thinking of how we will risk next. How will we choose to invest our talents and gifts as we grow? This time when our doors are closed, this time when darkness comes earlier and winter begins to set in, this time for us can be a time of dreaming. Together, we can take what God has given us and imagine just how we could be trustworthy and faithful, taking risks, digging up whatever we have buried deep in the ground, and creating space to invest it wisely. We have time. We have the gift of Kairos time, God's time, to dream of new ways to pull people from the outer darkness where society often throws them when they deem them unworthy. Because we as Christians know we are all made in the image of God, all of us servants called to offer our particular gifts to the glory of God. Frederick Buchner is famous for saying, "Your vocation in life is where your greatest joy meets the world's greatest need." What joy do you have to share? And where do you see the world's greatest need now? Because joy is central to getting a good return on your investment, and fear is an enemy of joy. When we are joyful about the gifts that God has given us, and when we are awake to the world's greatest need, the only response will be to offer our gifts freely and without fear. When we have joy about the talents God has given us, we often don't even think about the potential for failure because joy overrides fear. Joy comes from a theology of abundance, trusting that God has given us all we need to be about the work God has given us to do. Has fear made any of you bury God gifts in the ground? Do you see a need in the world, and does the talent you have to offer bring you joy? If so, we want to be the place that receives your gift. As a community, Grace Church wants to be a place where you can offer your gifts, knowing that we are in this work not for our own return on our investments, but to the glory of God. Together, we have been given so much. And when we invest it freely and with joy, even more will be given. So while we may be closed, my door is open. What do you want to do, Grace? What are you dreaming of? What talent do you have to share? What can you imagine doing with the support of your church community? Because yes, the world has great needs, but together we have an abundance. And with joy, we will offer our talents to the glory of God. And together, we will watch them multiply. Amen.